My name is Dave DeSmit, and I am the youth pastor here at WLA, and I have the privilege of preaching this morning. You may remember I preached once last summer as well, and just a word of advice: when you're given an opportunity, you have to really take hold of it. And so just in my preparation, just looking in, you know, with the material I have, we should be rolling out of here around 2:30 or so, so I hope everyone's okay with that. Just kidding. So we are continuing our series called Endurance. It's a series based on Hebrews chapter 12. The series is called Endurance to remind us that the Christian life is a race set out before us. It's a long-distance race, and long-distance races require endurance. An authentic Christian living requires discipline. This has been the subject of the last two messages. Last week, Pastor Mike started us off, and this week I'm going to be continuing sort of a part two of this idea of authentic Christian living requiring discipline. So Pastor Mike last week led us through Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, which he gave us a biblical perspective on the difficult details and challenges in our lives, and how they're often placed there for our correction and benefit. So we're going to continue our discussion on this with Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 8, adding on verse 8 from this chapter. So if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to open it, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It'll also be up on the PowerPoint as well. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, then you are illegitimate. Sorry, if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So let's pray together. Lord, we pray this morning that we will see your fatherly love shining through the difficult circumstances and discipline in our lives. Show us that we are indeed authentic sons and daughters, and by your Spirit, help us to be open to receiving the discipline of authentic faith from you and be thankful for it. Lord, I pray that you would prevent me from saying anything that isn't of you. We just ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. Amen. So our focus today is, like I said, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And as I prepared for this message, reading this verse brought me back to November 2009, when I found myself on a flight from Vancouver to Toronto. And I was broken, physically, emotionally, spiritually. At the time, I was a drummer for a Christian violin pop rock band called Article One, and we had just completed an exhausting, difficult tour that saw us do a complete loop around North America in 2.5 months, with doing 4 shows a week. So the tour was a culmination of 3 years on the road, 3 years of intense road life. 3 years in which I had gradually slipped down a road towards hardened, prideful self-sufficiency, lost spiritual perspective. And then one night it all came to a head while we were in Calgary, Alberta. I'll never forget the moment. Just the exhaustion from being on the road, the emptiness of neglected spiritual life, created this perfect storm situation where I would say I just had a complete and utter burnout. I was a wreck. I pretty much hit rock bottom. We still had a few shows left on the tour, and I'm not sure exactly how we got through that, but with the support of my bandmates, we finished the tour, we finished the shows, and then they put me on a flight from Vancouver back to London. And I was on this flight just broken and in despair. So reading Hebrews 12, verse 8, I realized that this verse was written for me. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So at this point, we need to stop and we need to ask, who are these illegitimate children who are not sons? So the Hebrew Christians who originally received this scripture were living in a time of Roman political and social dominance. They had the wealth and power. And rich Roman noblemen often had two kinds of sons, legitimate sons and illegitimate sons. Now, the illegitimate sons were born outside of marriage to various women. Illegitimate sons were typically financially supported by their nobleman fathers, but they were neither disciplined nor held accountable in any way. They were just allowed to roam free, to run wild, to do whatever they wanted. They had no accountability or responsibility. But the caveat to this freedom was that they had no future, they had no respect and no honor within the nobleman's family. No, all the honor and respect was given to the true son, the son of the nobleman's legal wife, the legitimate son, the son who was to inherit the estate, carry on the father's name, and uphold the legacy of the family. But such tremendous responsibility came at a tough price. The life of a legitimate son was a tough one. It was an intense regimen of discipline, preparing, molding, sculpting, directing, and shaping. A life of discipline comparable to that of a slave. But the reward, of course, was the honor, the esteem, and the privilege of carrying on the family's name and all the respect that came with that name, as well as the reward of a very great and rich inheritance. So the illegitimate son of Hebrews 12 is a son with no inheritance. And by extension, we can say that the son with the inheritance is the son who has been disciplined by the father, by his father. So where does it leave us if God's discipline is absent from our lives? Well, in that case, we can only come to one conclusion. We are illegitimate children. So what an honor it is to be a recipient of this discipline. It establishes our position as legitimate children. Would we dare to resist this discipline set in place by a loving father? Unfortunately, this resistance is common. And at times, resistance is active, conscious rebellion against God. I think we can all think of examples like Hitler, the dictator of North Korea in our current political climate, dark eras of history of slavery, legalizing of abortion, all situations where there's an active resistance against God. But as well, on a societal and personal level, we are guilty of a passive resistance. So we are constantly seduced by a culture that avoids pain, loves pleasure, and subtly and slowly we can become comfortable and sedated and slip away from diligently pursuing God, sliding away from authentic faith, and giving little thought to spiritual or eternal things. We get caught up in worldly things. History and our own social experience, I think, testify to the enormous consequences of active and passive resistance to the discipline of God. It always ends badly. So today, as we focus on verse 8 and its reference to illegitimate children, we examine our own lives. Am I tuned in to God's discipline? Am I aware of his personal correction, his molding, and his shaping of my life? Do I sense God's fatherly correction in my life? If the answer to these questions is no, then verse 8 is a warning to inauthentic followers of Christ, followers who may think they are in it, but are not actually in it for real. So as we consider this text, I invite all of us to ask some tough, important questions. Maybe questions we've never asked ourselves before. What's my status? Am I the illegitimate child running wild without discipline? Or do I see God's correction and discipline in my life? If not, do I see the importance of having that discipline? So as God's legitimate children in an authentic relationship with him, we are called to be open to his correction. And God's correction requires honest introspection, serious study of the Word of God, continuous prayer for the revelation of God's will and leading, and a completely sacrificial submission to that will. So for some of us, this may mean throwing out the vices of human pride and self-sufficiency. For others, it may mean surrendering the desire for more wealth, a bigger house, more stuff, higher social status. It may even mean an honest assessment of our motives for sitting here in church every Sunday, wrongly thinking that our attendance alone is enough to obtain eternal security. So this kind of deceptive and worldly thinking will ultimately require accountability to a just God unless we welcome his discipline and correction and take comfort in the thought that it assures us of our position as legitimate children. So I want us to encourage us this morning to be open and welcome this discipline, just taking a moment to consider three notes on the Lord's discipline. First of all, it's necessary to determine your relationship with God. It's to know his love. So we need to take a step back, and we need to evaluate our current relationship with God to determine where it needs to be. Because of mankind's rebellion in sin, there was a divide set between man and God. This is the fundamental gospel message. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to reconcile us sinners to God. Many of us will know the passage from John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And what some people call the high peak of Scripture, Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And going back to the Old Testament, Joel 2, verse 32, saying, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So this is the message that the world needs to hear. This is the glorious good news that West London Alliance wants to bring to the city of London and to the entire world. It's a new or renewed relationship with Jesus by entrusting our lives, our souls, our eternity to him is what is offered to you today through this sacrifice. So while the illegitimate son of the Roman nobleman, while the illegitimate son of the Roman nobleman's household was permanently entrenched in that illegitimacy, we are not in such a hopeless situation. We can all become legitimate children of God by putting our faith in him. Just know that trusting in Christ Jesus is victory over spiritual illegitimacy. So there's some questions we need to ask ourselves. Have I experienced Christ? Have I entrusted myself to Christ? Have we truly realized that there is no hope without Jesus Christ, that we have no future without Christ? So I pray that if you haven't committed your life to Christ today, that today would be the day you do so. This is the most important thing you'll ever do with your life. If you want to talk more, you can come talk to me after the service, and I know any of the other pastoral staff would be more than willing to do so. But don't put that off. So from initially entrusting ourselves to Christ, we move to growing in Christ. And as the saying goes, there's no gain without pain. There's no discipline without pain. Growth happens through pain and effort and endurance. And so our second note here on the Lord's discipline is that the pain of fatherly discipline equals growth and life. Jesus said that he came to give us the abundant life, but the abundant life is not a life without trials, without pain. On the contrary, when trials and pain come, Scripture tells us to not be surprised. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening." We may be tempted to run away from pain, but the Hebrew Christians certainly were tempted to turn from following Christ and going back to their traditional religion when they were facing the pain of persecution. But Hebrews 12 reminds us and encourages us to embrace this pain because it comes from the Lord who disciplines the one he loves. So we have a new perspective that the details in our lives are not unnecessary pain from a God who is unaware, but they can be instrumental in our correction because they come from a loving Father. So the question from here is, how do I know that I'm in an authentic relationship with God? It's an interesting question, one that is asked quite often. How do I know that I'm saved? And in my first point, it talked about first initially trusting Jesus, putting your hope and your faith in him. From there, we can move to talking about growing in our discipline, growing in our faith. And 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 gives us a great answer of how we can know we are saved. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." So you can see in our growing in Christ, we graduate from one stage to another, progress and development. You're not going to earn your salvation from Jesus through disciplined effort. You're only going to earn that through putting your faith in him. But as we grow in these ways that 2 Peter 1 talks about, we can see our faith at work. We can see that we have a genuine faith that's actually being lived out practically. But it all starts with faith. So authentic faith requires this discipline, both discipline from God and this self-discipline that we talk about in 2 Peter 1. And as we endure the discipline of the Lord and grow in our own self-discipline, we will realize, just as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, that for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It is only by faith that we will endure. So that brings us to our third point. And that is, God calls us to the endurance of faith. It comes down to a matter of trust. Simple, childlike trust in a loving Father. Proverbs 3 verse 5 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. As we grow in our faith, we grow in our trust and in our obedience, a growth that continues in times of trial and discipline. And seeing the Lord work in our lives retrospectively should spur us on to a deeper trust and a deeper faith. So questions we need to ask ourselves in regards to this: is the difficult work of discipline evident in our walk of faith? What is our attitude towards this pain of discipline? Are we living out what 2 Peter 1 is encouraging us to do? Growing in these attributes that show our genuine and authentic faith. So in this respect, the Bible also gives us some perspective. Going back to the Old Testament, Job received some not so good advice from his friends, some not so good wisdom and counsel. But he did receive some good counsel in Job 5 verse 17, which says, "Blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not the discipline of the Almighty." In Proverbs 3, verse 11, it says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." No, we shouldn't despise, we shouldn't look down on, we shouldn't mourn the fact that we are being disciplined. Our attitudes should be one of grateful trust. If you've been attending here for any length of time, you know that Pastor John Piper is sometimes quoted from the stage here. I'm going to continue that legacy today. He understands that through discipline and suffering, we will have many questions. But it ultimately comes down to one thing. So there are questions, that's what John Piper says, there are questions that God doesn't answer. Why it is your turn? Why it is happening now? Why there is this much pain? Or why it lasts this long? But he has told you what you need to know. It is the love of an all-wise father to a child. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? So again, the discipline of the Lord is an indication of the authenticity of our faith. But at the same time, I can speak from personal experience, and I'm sure you can as well. It is true that human emotions and pain are real. When you read through the Psalms, you see the pain, you see the suffering, but you also see the ultimate trust in God. So please hear me when I say that I'm not saying our emotions are invalid, that there aren't times to mourn the situations in our life that are sad, but we need to hold on to the fact that Christ doesn't promise us peaceful circumstances. He promises us his peace amidst our circumstances. And we can find that peace in whatever dire situation we find ourselves in. So there's two things we need to remember, I think. Hebrews 12, verse 8 tells us that the Lord's discipline is something all Christians will experience. We should gain power in our endurance by knowing that this is a common experience among all believers. All have participated, as this verse says. God's people are not spared from trials. Everyone experiences them. And as we look around the world, we see numerous places where our brothers and sisters are enduring trials that we can only imagine. So we need to remember to pray for, to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters around the world who are setting an example in enduring. There's two examples that come to mind. The situation in Iraq for Christians right now is dire. There's communities of Christians who are mere kilometers away from armies of ISIS, facing extermination, facing death, facing torture. But they are standing resolutely in their faith of Christ. Imagine enduring that. The Chinese believers who are being persecuted under a communist government, where everything is regulated by a government, where you're only allowed to preach out of certain chapters of the Bible where there's a very limited amount of freedom in worship and in gathering. This common experience reminds us that we are all in this together. We're all in this together. So in addition to knowing that this discipline is going to happen to all of us as believers, we also need to know, or we need to trust and know, that it is the beneficial correction of a loving Father. Trust and know that it is the beneficial correction of a loving Father. Divine discipline reminds us of our status as children of God. And this discipline is part of a divine rescue mission. If we look in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32, it says, But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. We are being saved. And this world is headed to a day where everyone will have to give an account to Jesus for their lives. And Jesus is going to come back. He's going to judge the world in righteous judgment. But we can be comforted in the fact that as we see the Lord's discipline in our lives, we can know that we are safely within His arms, free from condemnation, free from judgment. So the legitimate son of the Roman noble family, they had the responsibility of carrying on the family name, of representing the family well, of knowing the great responsibility that they had been entrusted with. So, brothers and sisters, are we representing our Christian family well? Is our Heavenly Father pleased with how we are living up to our name as of Christian? Remember, we will never earn our salvation with good works, but are we good and faithful servants? And do we realize what a privilege it is to bear the name of Christian? I pray that we do. The legitimate son in the home of a Roman nobleman endured discipline as well, with the anticipation of the promised inheritance. Money, property, possessions, everything that the father had was going to be given to them. So as children of God, what are we promised? We're promised an even more amazing inheritance. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 reminds us that for this light momentary affliction, this discipline we're experiencing is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Eternal life, eternity spent with God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 also reminds us that what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So, people of God, do we have our eyes set on this inheritance, this unimaginable inheritance, this amazing promise and hope that we've been given from God of being free from sin, of being in the Lord's presence for eternity? As I said before, Hebrews 12, verse 8 was written for me. So on that Vancouver to Toronto flight and in the subsequent months following that, I believe I'd experienced the discipline of the Lord in a way that I never had before. Until then, I had never known such despair. It was a dark night of the soul. But today, I can testify to the presence of a loving God who is disciplining me. painfully molding and shaping me. As difficult as it was, I may not sweat like Jude, but I've got a little waterworks going on, but that's okay. Not expecting that. As difficult as it was, I started approaching Scripture with a new, humble attitude. Not looking for the answers I wanted to find, but as best as I could, given my frame of mind, asking God to shape my heart according to His Word. And slowly but surely, I felt my heart changing from self-pity to a trust that God was working through that pain. He was disciplining me. So looking back now, I'm thankful for this discipline. It has helped to shape me for this great privilege of being a youth pastor, working with dozens of incredible young people here at WLA. It was a painful but very necessary part of my growth. Do I still have days when I struggle with negative and anxious thoughts? Absolutely. But I'm continuing to learn to trust that the Lord's discipline is for my benefit. So I hope that these verses in Hebrews 12 are an encouragement to all of us to strive as we strive to endure. Pray that they will help us to see our discipline as necessary. To see that God is using all the details and circumstances in our lives to prove our legitimacy. So be encouraged that there is a joyful and comforting conclusion. A day coming when discipline will no longer be necessary. A day without mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Be assured that your life, God's discipline, and all its painful details are building towards that day. I'd like to close with a different take on this passage. We typically use the English Standard Version here, but I want to share Eugene Peterson's version of this passage taken from The Message. From Hebrews 12, it says, God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. The trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them. But God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. It's my prayer this morning that we would see the discipline in our lives as proof of the authenticity of our faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I ask for hearts to be opened here this morning, open to the fact that there is a loving God, that you love us, that you sent your Son into the world to die for us, Lord. And as we grow in our faith, I pray that we'd be more and more open to your correction, more and more open to your discipline. Your discipline is proof that we are indeed authentic children. Looking forward to the day when we can spend eternity with you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.